Welcome to the HCI family of podcasts. We're your source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We share our own original research, explore industry trends, and interview executives and thought leaders from across the globe. Join us for practitioner-oriented content around all things leadership, HR, talent management, organizational development, and change management. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with the HCI family of podcasts. Deb Muller, welcome to the conversation today.
Thanks for having me, John.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Where are you joining me from?
I am joining you from rainy, windy St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oh, wonderful. Very good. I'm south of Salt Lake City in Utah. Great to be with you as you're joining us from Florida. It's a pleasure. And today we're going to be talking about how we can approach layoffs in a more humane manner. I hope that's a topic that immediately resonates with everybody because we've all been there. We've either been on the receiving side, getting the notice of a layoff, or we've been also in the painful side of having to give the news. That's not pleasant for anybody either. And a lot of times organizations just don't give enough attention to like how you can do this in a way that makes sense for the humans involved in this decision-making. We all understand that sometimes it's what has to happen, as hard as it may be, and it's a hard decision, but there are better ways to do it than a lot of organizations often do. And I think it's highlighted really well in some of the social media trends that we've seen recently, where people are posting their layoffs. And I mean, what a bad like employer branding kind of mechanism that is happening through social media that you don't want. So certainly you want to treat people well, just to treat them well, but also from a business perspective, man, you're hurting your brand and you're hurting your ability to attract and retain good people if you're not doing things in a healthy, you know, productive way. So that's what we're going to explore together today. As we get started, I wanted to share Deb's bio with everybody. Deb Muller is founder and CEO of HR Acuity. After serving in executive HR roles at numerous Fortune 500 companies, including Honeywell, Citibank, and Marsh & McLennan, Deb launched HR Acuity in 2006 to create technology with built-in expertise and equip organizations to manage employee relations more strategically. Deb provides a wealth of real-world experience and guidance to help companies strengthen processes, transform corporate culture and workplace culture, and elevate employee relations as a strategic driver of business success. She holds a BS in Industrial and Labor Relations from Cornell and an MA in Instructional Systems Development from the University of Maryland. And I could go on. You've done so many really cool things in your career, but I'll pause there. Anything else you would like to highlight by way of your background or personal context before we dive on in?
No, I just, you know, I love this conversation. I think it's really timely. And I think that all human resource professionals and our employee relations community out there is going to benefit from it. We just have to keep talking about how to do it better.
Yeah, how to do it better is absolutely the case. And maybe we can start with just you framing up like why you think this topic is so important. I hope it's obvious to everybody, but with how poorly this is often done, it clearly isn't top of mind or top of priority to a lot of people who are in a lot of different types of leadership roles. It might be for HR people, but not necessarily for other middle managers or C-suite executives.
Yeah. So the one thing I will think about it, or talk about is some of the research that we've done sort of demonstrate that how you build brand loyalty with your employees is how you treat them in the moments that matter. Mm-hmm. And the moments that matter are the ones that are not so great in a work environment. Employees don't expect things to be perfect, but they do expect the employer to take care of them. So you might say, well, wait a second, this person's leaving the organization, they're going out, what do we care? Well, we do care, first of all, because all the other employees see this happening. And they say, this me, or how are they going to treat me? And then the other thing is, we're also talking a lot about boomerangs now. People that come back to the workforce. We're no longer talking about people that stay 10, 20 years, but organizations are starting to embrace the generation that leaves after a year, 2 years as potential employees coming back. So it's become even more critical. And as you mentioned before, we have this transparent generation that loves putting things on TikTok. So where we used to say to people, watch what you say or write because you don't want it on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. We say, you know, you don't want to open up TikTok and see a meme or whatever, some caricature or an actual recording of what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the boomerang effect, I think that's really important to note too, because, you know, we can wring our hands about it and say, oh, this younger generations, they're leaving, you know, they're transitioning jobs so quickly, blah, blah, blah. Like we can bemoan that all we want, but it's the reality. And it's really, it comes from both directions. I mean, it's coming from the corporate direction. It's coming from the employee direction. And employees today, honestly, like most people in a lot of industries, if they're going to stay marketable, if they're going to stay like at market with pay, they have to move. They have no choice. Like you have to move, you have to go to a different place. And if you don't, you're actually seen as like damaged goods. Like, why aren't you moving and progressing and moving up? And so people are leaving. They kind of have to just to manage their own career. And if that's the case, 100%, you need to be thinking about how do you get them back? How can you pull them back in 5 years? So that boomerang effect is really strong. And when they're leaving, especially if it's something like a layoff, how you treat them is what they will remember.
Yeah, well, I would say I might counter that I don't think you always have to leave. As a CEO who has many employees, my hope is that our culture is such that you can find development opportunities, you can grow and expand. But I get that. The other challenge that organizations have now is that a large majority of our employees are remote. So going and changing jobs is very easy. You turn your computer off one day and you log into a different computer the next day. You're not saying goodbye. You're not packing up your box of things. You don't have all your pictures spread in your office or your cubicle that you used to have. So you're building less loyalty by the office environment. And so it is much easier to make that, like, psychologically, it's easier to make that switch. So it's happening.
And it certainly depends on the organization. You're absolutely right. But the general trend and the how the psychological contract in the workplace has degraded over the last few decades, like, right, it's a different world than it was, you know, when I was younger, when you were younger. That's just the reality. And so if we're going to, you know, manage within this current environment, and as things continue to evolve in the next 5-10 years, the nature of work is shifting, the future of work is different than today even. This is one of many really important considerations that we have to keep at top of mind. Okay, so, go ahead.
I was going to say, we're talking layoffs here. So traditionally, a layoff is not about your performance.
Right,
it's not because you've done something poorly. It's because the business has changed or the needs have changed. They're pivoting or up or down, and they need a different skill set or they need to take some action. So again, doesn't mean you don't ever want that person back again, and they actually might be a great talent for you to bring back. So think about how you're leaving them.
Absolutely. And I mean, just add layers onto this. You know, if we look at the tech industry, for example, and the mass tech layoffs that we've seen over the last year, 18 months from different organizations, you know, there's a distaste in the mouth of a lot of people because they're like, well, C-suite executives, they just don't even know what they're doing. Like, they're over hiring. So they're creating the very problem that now they're trying to solve. And so they're creating the pain in my life, in my career, et cetera. So you already have, in many types of jobs and many types of organizations, you already have that kind of pain point and that perception that people are dealing with as they're leaving. And if you just treat them in a terrible way as they're exiting, I mean, chances of you getting them back are pretty slim. And we're in a tight labor market with skills gaps, and we can't afford that, right? Most organizations can't afford that.
Well, we think about some of the layoffs that we've seen, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The better ones, if there's such a thing, is where there is that transparency from leadership that this is not something you've done, it's something we've done. And we're taking accountability for it. And unfortunately, the impact is that we have to let you go, and really explaining why the business hasn't formed and taking accountability as leaders for making decisions that haven't panned out. I think that plays a lot better. I mean, being transparent, tell them the way it is, and actually, you know, share the information with the employees.
Yeah, absolutely. Transparency goes a long way. People understand it's a volatile environment. You know, despite maybe what we might, in retrospect, we might, you know, be looking back and we might be thinking, oh, that was a dumb decision. But nobody has a crystal ball. We don't know what's going to happen. So just be straightforward and honest about it. Explain why things are happening the way they're happening. Own it. Take responsibility for it. That will go a really long way in just helping people feel, you know, not good about being laid off. Nobody's going to feel good, but, you know, at least being able to accept it and understand it. It's not, you know, you, it's me kind of a situation.
And look, the world has thrown us things no one would have ever thought, which certainly did the labor market, you know, COVID. In one way, we were laying off people, and then there's this extreme demand. And it just, you know, I got to believe that we're going to continue to get new situations in the workplace that are going to throw curveballs, that are going to impact hiring or hiring and keeping people, laying people off.
100%. Whether it's the pandemic, I mean, who knows, the next pandemic could be right around the corner. So you know, hopefully not, but any something like that could happen. But, you know, war, economic disruptions, we have technological disruptions. Like, we basically just have to be ready for anything, which is a really hard place to be. But that's the reality. And yeah, so as long as we can take a more humane approach, I think it's going to be helpful. People understand you can't control everything. People understand you don't have a crystal ball. What people don't stomach well is when you gaslight, when you try to, you know, change the narrative to save face later on, those sorts of things. And that's when you're going to get some really bad press, and then it's going to come back to hurt you later. All right, so let's talk about some of the strategies, and feel free to pull in any of the research that you've been doing in this space. But what are some of those strategies HR professionals or other middle managers up through the C-suite can use as they're trying to approach layoffs in a more humane manner?
Yeah, well, the first thing we already kind of talked about that was the transparent communication. Number one, open and honest communication. It's really essential throughout the process. Clear explanation as to why the layoff is necessary, what criteria was used in the selection process so that you can be clear about why you and not the person next to you, and also what support's going to be available for them. So really, when you get in front of employees, that is so critical. Prepare for it. This is not something you just kind of do the next day, HR folks. Think about how you are preparing, how you're preparing your managers. Think about the questions that are going to be asked. Think about your communication timeline. When, how are you going to communicate to people? Again, if you're doing a few people, it's small layoff, it's easier. But if you're doing a lot, that rumor mill, the information that is can be dispersed, you know, in real time about what's going on, assume it's going to happen. So what's the best way of doing things? And I think it changes how we approach these types of layoffs than we would have done a few decades ago, when you could actually get to people individually. Now you have to assume that they're going to hear about it. So do you do a meeting? Do you call people together and talk about what's happening? You know, I might've said that's not the best approach, but sometimes it is. You're not face-to-face. You're not calling people into a conference room. Not sure that was the best way either. But you're calling people on the phone. They're at home. You're Zooming in with them for most part. How is that going to impact them? I have to say, sometimes I wonder if that is not better. You know, there's nothing worse than having a conversation with someone, communicating this information, and then them having to leave the room and go back to their office or ask and sort of deal with the situation. In some regards, from a kind of an empathy and humanity perspective, having them turn off the camera is easier. That being said, they're at home. Are their children at home? Are their spouses at home? You know, what do they have to deal with? Do they have the right support? So the other thing, respect and empathy, making sure they have the support systems that they're going to need after the communication. And when you communicate, think about, you know, what you're communicating. How is it going to impact them? That's really all they care about, right? At that moment, what's in it for me? What's my severance? What's my outplacement? What does that mean? What are the emotional supports? Now is a time, I would say, for organizations not to get stingy. You know, you're really, you know, giving people news. Is 2 weeks really enough? What can you do in 2 weeks? You sort of have to get yourself together. How much more does it really cost the organization to give people what they need? You know, a lot of organizations now, you know, keep your laptop. We can wipe it because that we know you're going to need that. That might be the only computer they have. And now you're asking them to go look for a job and you're going to take that away from them and have them have to expend it. So things like that can really go a long way. And that should be considered when you're kind of thinking about how to approach this.
Yeah. I think that's hard. Obviously, when you're getting to the point of layoffs, there's financial reasons for that. You're trying to cut labor costs. And so on the one hand, you're like, we're trying to cut costs already anyways. And now you're saying we need to give a bigger severance. We need to give, you know, more resources, more support for job placement and those sorts of things. I get it. Like, you're already making a hard decision there. But in the grand scheme of things, how much more expensive is it actually? And how would you want to be treated if you're the one getting laid off? I mean, that's something you also want to be thinking about.
Yeah, when you do the math, it really isn't much. And sometimes, and I have to say, it's a pay me now, pay me later. You know, obviously organizations worry about the risk, right? We're going to get sued, or we're going to go down the path. First of all, you probably will. We live in a pretty litigious environment.
Yeah.
And even if you've done everything right, there's still cost disruption into all that. So if you can work through that, obviously that is helpful. But we like to think about, and all the things we think about with employee relations, if you go in with an employee first mindset, not a how do I shield the company from risk mindset, employee first mindset, you will mitigate your risk. I guarantee it. If you go in just worried about the organization, it's not gonna land well with the employee. So we always say go in with an employee first mindset. The other piece I think is often missed is our managers. They are the front line, like HR, we've trained in this. I mean, it never gets easy. I always tell people if terminating someone is easy, you need to get a new job.
But, yeah.
It's true. You are impacting someone's life, right? This is how they get their salary. This is what you're doing. So even in the instances of them doing something very egregious and the termination for cause, they still have to go tell their family. They still have to go home and figure out, you know, how it's going to impact their lives. So it can never be easy. But do not forget about your managers, your leaders. They don't do this every day. They might not have the words. They're the front line. They're going to be asked by other people. So it's really important you work with them. Bullet points, talking points, practicing it with them, particularly if they're in the meeting with you to deliver the news, which, by the way, they should. They shouldn't just be throwing it over the wall to HR. Sometimes that's not always possible if it's a mass layoff. But helping them understand what questions might be asked, helping them move through it, giving them emotional support or support that they can go to after a hard day of having to make these announcements that's impacting their team that they've grown close to and that they've been leading.
Yeah, there's going to be strong emotions from multiple sides here, right? Obviously, the person getting laid off, that's the most difficult position to be in. But if you've ever been in the position where you're the manager, where you have to relay the news, especially when it's people that you care deeply about, that you've worked closely with, that are an integral part of your team, man, that takes a toll too. And you mentioned it at the earlier, you know, earlier in the conversation, but the impact, there's ripple effects and long-term impacts of these types of decisions. So just because, you know, it's, you know, maybe 10% of the workforce is getting laid off, the other 90% who stick around, they're still dealing with it and they're wondering, when is it me?
Yeah, you know? So the communication,
they're thinking about, you know, am I next? They're thinking about what's their next round of layoffs going to look like. They're, a lot of them are going to be mentally checking out, looking for jobs to preempt, you know, what the next wave might look like, etc. And all of that is, you know, collateral impact of those types of decisions. And managers, middle managers, are right in the middle of it, because they know that they're making these hard, they're the ones that have to have these face-to-face or, you know, over computer, whatever, conversations. They have to share this with their team. And a few months from now, they may be looking for a job and they might be going and looking, you know, trying to work their networks and talk to these same people they just laid off a few months ago.
Look, it comes down from the top, and that communication plan does not stop with the impact of employees. You need to think about beyond that. How are we going to communicate to the rest of the employees? Because basically you're saying something went wrong. We need to lay off. So now you have to tell them, well, how are we going to make it right? What is our plan? What are our next steps? How do we need you to kind of come on board and get together and sort of right the ship? What is the plan? Otherwise, they're just, as you said, they're just going to think about the other thing. You know, what's next and am I next and looking over their shoulder. So really key importance, accountability. This is what happened. This is why it went wrong. And here's our plan to right the ship. And here's what we need you to be doing. Here are the expectations for, you know, the next 30, 60, 90 and go forward days to get us back on track.
Yeah. Really, really important. And even if you do it super well and you're super clear and transparent and you have empathy and all of these different things we've been talking about, it's still going to be hard and there's still going to be a lot of ripple effects. So, I mean, just imagine if you do it poorly, how much more, you know, tragic those impacts will be over time.
They say that losing your job is one of like the major life events that can happen. Sure. And so I think also as an HR professional, as a manager, listening, following up with your employees, both those that stay and those that have gone, you know, when you lose your job, you really, you go through a grieving process. You go through those steps of grief. You're surprised. There's going to be anger, right? And then sort of people come. So how can you, first of all, acknowledge those stages, like it's happening. You know, follow up with people after the shock to make sure they're okay. Have somebody follow up with them. Have people in the organization, when you let them know, follow up. Their coworkers have left. They're used to sitting with them. What's the transition like? Who's going to be doing the roles? That also has to be clear. There's a lot. I mean, this is why we talk about advanced planning. You can't just do this right away. You know, going through those stages with them, listening, talking to them. I mean, the other thing is, what can you do as a manager or as an HR person to help them move forward? They might not be ready away, but what can you, particularly in a layoff situation, as an organization, you know, many organizations, if they have the capacity or capability, might offer EAP or career counseling services. Some might not be able to for financial reasons, of course. First of all, encourage, if they're there, encourage people to use them. But also, if appropriate, talk to them about how you can help them. You know, networking is so important in finding your next job. You know, how willing are you to make introductions? The other thing is really helpful, maybe more for a manager, is to have a conversation with the person about sort of where their strengths are. You know, what do they think are the things that that person brings to an organization to help them understand those superpowers and to lean into them? It can also be an opportunity to do something different, particularly if there's a severance involved. So, you know, not in all situations, but in some, it might be a great opportunity to do things. And I'm going to share with the group here. I was laid off through a reduction in force. My role was eliminated and I started a company called HR Acuity. I would have never done that had that not been given that opportunity. And here we are later, 100 employees, you know, we're doing, working with some of the biggest organizations in the world. So I'm not saying that's going to happen to everybody and that it's rosy. I don't want to paint it out as that. But it could be an opportunity. So as a manager or an HR person, if you see someone that has that, you know, help, it's okay to have those conversations when the person's ready, not right away. You might want to wait a beat, but not right away.
Not what they want to hear right in the moment, but yes, as a follow-up, absolutely, absolutely. And I was going to share a similar example, you know, of a good friend, a neighbor who had a similar situation, laid off, reduction in force, now, you know, is part of a really dynamic tech startup and amazing, like something he would have never done. He's a fairly risk averse kind of person. And so, but being thrust into this with a nice severance, it gave him the runway to do something he probably wouldn't have ever done. And he's loving it. Right. And so it doesn't always work out that way. Obviously we can't assume it's going to work that out that way for everyone in our team who we might have to lay off, but having those conversations with people, helping them maybe open their aperture a little bit about what possibilities are out there is a really helpful mentoring thing you can do.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, it's, you know, the gig workforce is so different now. So there's opportunities to pick up things in the interim, you know, kind of stay relevant while you're doing your search, work on projects, things like Upworks, you know, you can get on there quickly and, you know, what do you do really? How can you help someone for, you know, and really sort of bring in some additional money in addition to your severance, if you're fortunate enough to have that while you're looking, so you can find the right next spot.
Yeah, great. Deb, this has just been a really great conversation. I know we've only scratched the surface. There's a whole lot more we could talk about, but we're going to have to end there. Before we wrap things up, I just wanted to give you a chance to share with the audience how they can connect with you, find out more about your work, your team, and then give us a final word on the topic for today.
Yeah. So again, we are HR Acuity is an employee relations investigations platform, technology platform. If you want to learn more about it, please link in with me. Let me know. We also, I want to share for our employee relations professionals, we have the largest, I believe the only employee relations community out there. It is called Empower, empower-er.org. We have about 5,000 employee relations professionals. It's free. There's a great live feed. You can talk about things like layoffs, get feedback, get help in situations like this. There's also a job board on it. So if you want to post jobs or if you are impacted by a layoff, it's a great place to look for your next opportunity. So join us there. Look, my last word on this is empathy, understanding. Yeah. This cannot get easier. Take the time to consider the nuances of how to make it not a good process, but a respectful process when you have to do it.
Treat your people with dignity and respect. That's what we're looking for. That's what people want first and foremost. So as hard as it is, treat them with dignity, and people will be able to navigate this hard thing that they're encountering. Deb, thanks again. It's been a pleasure. I encourage the audience to reach out, get connected, find out more about what Deb and her team can do for you. And as always, I hope everyone will stay healthy and safe. They can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the podcast. We hope you stay healthy and safe, and please join us again soon.